And I begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are portions of today's gospel lesson that feel like the start of a praise song. Glorify God's name. Glory to God. Sounds like the start of a praise song that maybe a rock band's going to come in and start leading. But then it's quickly followed and mixed in with a lot of words from Jesus that don't feel so much like words of praise and celebration. A grain of wheat must fall and die. Those who hate their life will save it. This is the death that I am about to die. Not uplifting and positive words, perhaps. Especially since they're things that we tend to avoid or run away from. We don't want to think about death or failure. The idea of a seed falling into the ground and dying. We tend to avoid these things. Very often in our culture, the idea of death, of failure, of not measuring up, is exactly what we try to run away from and avoid at all costs. We don't like to show weakness or imperfection. We don't like to show our mistakes or our flaws. We don't like to think about the ways that we don't succeed, but instead to celebrate the ways that we do. Positive thinking and ignoring the negative. We would much prefer to parade around with our merit badges to earn praises and glory for ourselves, recognizing the good that we have done. After all, to reveal our mistakes, our shortcomings, our flaws, to recognize that we are mortal, that we are imperfect, can just invite ridicule, criticism. We don't like to be ridiculed or criticized. Certainly, I much prefer for people to praise me and tell me about all the good things that I do and not to offer advice on what I could do better or point out the ways in which I have fallen short or, God forbid, the ways in which maybe my best intentions have actually caused harm or trouble when I meant them to do the opposite. No, we'd much prefer to kind of celebrate and lift up who we are and what we've done right than to focus on what we have done wrong. But God says here, Jesus says here, that unless a grain falls into the earth and dies, it remains but a single grain. A grain, a seed, left on its own, is simply that. It is a potential for life. It is a possibility of a new future. But in order for something new to come from it, it has to be buried. It has to be cast away, put under the ground, and then there's the hope, the trust that it will sprout something new that will bring forth new fruit, new beginnings. The kind of glory that God speaks of here in this passage is very different than the one that we perhaps think of on our own. God speaks of a glory that comes forth in the future, in new life, in something sprouting forth from that which was, from that which on its own is just dead, that seed, that simple grain of wheat. That instead it can become something new, grow into new life. But to do that means to let go of it, to surrender, to give it up. Far too often, I think it feels safer or better or easier for us to run around and hold up our seed and say, look how pretty my seed is. Isn't my seed better than everyone else's? Look how well I've taken care of it. Isn't it pretty? The idea of inviting death into that which we have, of giving it up, letting it go, so that it might become something new, is terrifying. We'd much rather show it off and celebrate it, but to hold on to it or to try to protect it, thinking that somehow all of our hope, our glory, our goodness is tied up in protecting this seed, is kind of like a young child who wants to save and protect their candy bar, and so they put it in their pants pocket for the next couple hours. until it melts and dissolves and becomes just mush. Sometimes our best efforts to protect what we have can actually cause harm or lead to their ruin. Instead, God says, I take that which was, that which on its own cannot do more, that which simply is part of the past, and in planting it and in growing it, it is transformed into something new, into new life. It becomes an abundance for itself and for others. The glory of God, ironically, is not about showing forth how bright and pretty and perfect and beautiful God is. But God instead chooses to show glory, to show forth new life, to show forth amazing and beautiful and rapturous and radiant things by taking that which was, the old, the dying, the unhealthy, planting it, and instead bringing forth something new. At the cross, Jesus is defeated and dead, is planted within the tomb with the assumption that there is no more, there is no future story, but God brings out new life, resurrection, new beginnings, Easter, out of that story and says, this is how I work, this is who I am. That when we give up our old way of life, our life built upon fear of protecting what is ours, our fear of needing to show forth how good we are, our fear of needing to be as impressive as possible and wear all of our merit badges, if we can give that up and let it be buried with Christ, that instead something new can be brought forth. Our glory, our goodness, our purpose, our goodness within this life ultimately is not ours. If we try to make it ours and hold on to it, it disappears, it fades. But when given to God, God brings forth new life out of who we are. It is always about God's glory. But in God's resurrection of us, of our past, of our failures, new life comes forth, and we get to share in God's glory, God's new beginnings, God's hope for a future. That which looked like failure to me, that which looked like waste, that which looked embarrassing, God can instead turn to glory, to beauty. From the cross comes forth the seeds of new life. God's glory is not shown forth in perfection, God's or ours. God's glory, God's truth is not shown forth where there is nothing negative or never any problems. Instead, it is shown forth where God brings forth new life from death, where God brings forth new seed from old, where God sprouts up something new within us, through us, and that which appeared dead can become something new. God is glorified in forgiveness. God is glorified in compassion. God is glorified in patience. God is glorified in peacemaking. God is glorified in sacrificial love, in justice, in loving community, in caring for one another. God's glory is not just in some perfect praise song or some glorious, rapturous, perfect future, but wherever it is that new life is coming forth. We as followers of Christ are called, invited to take that which is broken, that which is imperfect within ourselves, to hand it over instead of hiding it or trying to pretend it's not there, and instead ask for God to make something new out of it. That my past failures and faults can become a source of empathy and compassion and kindness for others. Those places where instead I have been blessed that they can become a place for me to share my bounty, my abundant seeds with those around me. That God takes whatever it is that I have to give and transforms it into new life. And from that grow more seeds and more new beginnings and more Easters and more resurrections and more life. Jesus says, the hour has come for me to be glorified. And says this on his way to the cross, about the least glorious thing that we can imagine. And yet, it is indeed the work of God's glory. That through death, new things take root and begin. That which we hold on to, that which we are ashamed of, that which is broken within us, God promises can become something hopeful. Something good, something new, the way forward into new life. Glorify God's name, Jesus says. And God responds, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. This sounds maybe like a praise song, as I said, but instead this is a promise to us. To glorify God's name is to take that which appears dead and make it alive. To take us, which are lost, and to bring us home. To take that which is painful and make it hopeful. To glorify God's name is for new life to burst forth from the tomb. From the tombs of our own lives and our own hearts, that which we think cannot be made new. God turns it into glory. And new life. This is good news. Amen.